Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Cooking in Real Time podcast. My name is Zora O'Neill, and this week I'm going to do a little more recipe decoding with you. This time I'm going to talk about three unrelated but slightly bizarre terms. They're terms that, if you're coming into cooking cold, they might make no sense at all. They're perfectly normal English words, but in the context of cooking, they have a very specific meaning. You might have a vague idea what they mean, but because they're so common, very few recipes ever explain what they actually mean, so it's sometimes hard to get a precise idea. The first term is zest, which seems obvious once you already know it, but if you don't, there's really no clue in the word what it means. It is referring to lemon zest, orange zest, some kind of citrus. People, it just means grated peel or rind. For some reason, sometime in the 80s, I feel like it was, when we can blame all bad things on happening, sometime in the 80s, everyone started saying zest instead of lemon peel or lemon rind. I don't know, it just sounds so zesty. The major pain of zest is that you really want just the peel, the outer layer of the lemon or the orange or whatever, without the white part underneath, because that white part can be very bitter and cancels out all the good, yummy, essential oils that are on the outside of the lemon. And in most recipes, you want very finely grated bits of zest. And this isn't really going to work if you have a standard box grater, one of those little stand-up things. Because if you run a lemon across the really small holes, the zest just gets all stuck in them. And if you use any of the bigger holes, you wind up with these big chunks that are more suitable for marmalade, and you also inevitably wind up with little bits of the white pith underneath stuck on, and maybe even your knuckles all grated up. The best tool, and fortunately it's relatively cheap, is a microplane zester. You can get one for, I think they're maybe up to $14 now, but it's a great investment. They stay sharp for years and years and years, and they are great. They are very thin and very sharp, and they get only the outer layers of the citrus peel, which is just what you want. Microplane makes dedicated graters for citrus, and it also makes some for cheese and some for spices. They each have their own minor adjustments, and they are kind of refined for each task. They're totally fun to have, and it can keep you from accidentally, say, grating old bits of Parmesan into your lemon ice, but you can definitely get by with just the one standard zester, and you can use that for lemon, and for making really fine, fluffy, grated Parmesan cheese, and for, like, grating your nutmeg fresh over things. I used to like the austere, simple one without the handle, because it has straight edges, not ones that sort of curve around underneath and catch whatever it is you're grating. But then that started to hurt my hands too much. I feel like I'm getting old saying that. But up to you whether you get one with a handle or not. Anyway, one last thing about the microplane. Actually, two. They're both kind of obvious, but when you're grating, be very careful not to zest your knuckles. Those things are freaking sharp. Some friend of mine said, it's always a small victory when you can put away the microplane without having maimed yourself. So proceed with caution, pay attention when you're zesting. And then the other kind of obvious thing, but when you're cleaning it, brush the sponge only in the direction of the edges. Otherwise, you end up with, well, grated or zested sponge. It's important to pass that message on to whoever does the dishes in your house. So, in a pinch, I should also say you can use a vegetable peeler to peel off the outermost layer of citrus rind and then chop that very, very fine. The resulting stuff is not going to be so divine and fluffy as if you did it with a microplane, but actually sometimes that extra texture can be welcome in a dish and have a teensy bit of chewiness. So that's how you can deal with that magic word, zest. Moving on to folding. A very standard direction in baking recipes is something like, fold the egg whites into the batter. Folding is used rather than plain old stirring so that you don't deflate the egg whites by knocking them around too much. So as long as you keep that basic goal in mind, that you want very, very gentle treatment of the egg whites and you don't want to deflate them, you should be fine, actually, no matter how you really get there and how you actually wield your spatula. The actual process of folding is simple, And in fact, it is vaguely related to folding something up, so it's not totally nonsensical. Basically, you plop your egg whites down in the middle of your batter, and then with a wide spatula, you reach down to the bottom of the bowl and lift some of the batter up and place it on top of the whites, sort of like wrapping up a package, if you think of it that way, wrapping up a package and folding the paper over the top. If you continue with this motion very gently, you'll eventually mix the egg whites into the batter a bit. The mix will never be as thorough, of course, as if you'd just stirred it all up furiously together, so you'll still see some streaks of egg white. That's totally fine, and in fact the trick is really just finding the sweet spot between totally intact, untouched fluffy egg whites and a well-combined mixture. So the egg whites are gonna deflate a little bit even as you treat them nicely with the folding, but that's okay. You'd want them just mixed in. So at a certain point, you wanna stop with the folding, let the egg whites be. This takes a little practice, but in fact, as long as you know the underlying ideal, you can't go too far wrong. So that's that for folding. Finally, the last thing is deglazing. This is not actually an otherwise common English word, but it's a core element of French technique, and because of that, you'll see it in a million recipes, not just French ones. The phrase is usually something like, deglaze the pan with a bit of wine. Here's a situation where deglazing comes around. So you've just been browning up a bunch of meat cubes in your big heavy bottom pot. You're gonna make a stew, and it says brown the meat cubes. So you've done all that, you've taken all the meat cubes out of the pan, they're sitting on the plate, and inside the pan now is this really thick coating of dark brown stuff. Some people think this brown stuff is burnt and dirty and should be scrubbed out. This is totally, totally not true, and in fact you want to incorporate all that tasty caramelized meat flavor, because that's what that brown stuff is, into your finished dish. The easiest way to get this stuff off the bottom of the pan and into your stew base or whatever you're cooking is by deglazing. And all that means is you leave your big heavy bottom pot with the brown stuff in it, you leave that on the burner with the heat on, and you toss in a little bit of liquid. Wine, stock, water, whatever. A liquid that you want in your recipe, of course. But you toss that into the hot pan just a little bit with the burner on, and then you take your spoon and scrape up all the stuff off the bottom of the pot. What happens is the hot liquid steams up and starts to bubble almost immediately, and that steaming action loosens up all the stuff that's stuck on the bottom of the pot. And if you've never done this before, you'll actually be really impressed at how quickly the steaming action of the liquid releases all that stuck on stuff. It's like presto. The trick is not to put in too much liquid, because if you put in too much liquid, it actually will not bubble up right away and it'll just sort of sit there and simmer. What you want is just enough that it will immediately start to bubble, you know, maybe a quarter of a cup or so, max. And if it all bubbles away and you haven't finished scraping, you can just toss in a little bit more liquid. For lots of recipes, it doesn't hurt to deglaze even if the recipe doesn't tell you to. Like I said, it's all about getting this extra flavor into your recipe, and that's generally a good thing. There are some cuisines where actually this concentrated meat flavor is not the ideal, like Mexican food comes to mind. So proceed with a little bit of caution, but in general, if you're home sort of freestyling, it's not going to hurt to do this, and whatever you do is going to taste more intense, much meatier. And if a recipe describes a process like this without calling it deglazing, well, now you know why. It's not just some little finicky extra step. It's actually a major boost to whatever you're cooking. And I keep talking about meat, but actually it doesn't apply just to meat. Even if you just brown vegetables in your pan, onions especially are tasty, and any other vegetables you brown in your pan, you can incorporate that brown stuff in and get a huge flavor boost. So the only thing you have to worry about is just to make sure that you haven't in fact burned whatever it is you were browning. This is pretty obvious if it happens, if there's smoke coming off your pan, and if the brown stuff is actual black stuff, you don't want that in the finished dish. And if you're in doubt, just taste it. Taste the stuff in the bottom of the pan, scrape up a little with your spoon, and see how it tastes. Handily though, you should remember that deglazing also works if you're just washing up pots and pans. So if you did happen to burn something and all that black crud is stuck on the bottom of your pot,
Or you have some pot that was in the oven, it has all this baked on stuff that doesn't look like it's going to wipe right off. You just put the pot on the burner on high, toss in a little water, and scrape off the gunk. It works like a charm. So that's it for this week's decoder. Zesting, folding, deglazing. Hopefully that cleared up a few small mysteries of many recipes. I have to warn you, I'm sorry to say, I am once again taking a break next week. Chalk it up to summer hours. I have a kind of crazy travel schedule, and I am officially in the publishing industry, so I can say summer hours. But I'll be back with another full meal in the classic cooking in real time style. So as always, drop me a note with comments or requests. I'm at zora@cookinginrealtime.com, and check out the website for photos, videos, recipes, whatever. In the week I'm off, you could maybe catch up on things you might have missed in the past. So thanks for listening, and until 2 weeks from now, happy eating.